Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to come and preach again. And it's just been such a gift getting to be an intern here and serve with all of y'all. Do you like gifts? I love receiving gifts. For me, though, it isn't as much about the gift as it is knowing that someone was thinking about me. In a world where so many people are so conceited, so self-centered, always focused on themselves and what others are thinking about them, it's such a blessing when you get a gift and you know they were thinking about you. Towards the beginning of this month, we had Vacation Bible School. Now, as you know, that's when many of the people who were baptized today accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. Yeah. During this week, there was a table that was set up, and it was full of toys and candy, and the kids could get these things using the bucks that they had earned by memorizing verses. And there was actually a toy that caught my eye. It was a Star Wars toy. And not just any Star Wars toy. We're talking old school 70s original, which of course is the best. Now, I didn't grow up in the church, but I did grow up with Star Wars. And it was a very big part of my childhood. I watched the movies hundreds of times. I played the games. I read the books. I played with the toys. My parents even got me those guns that you put the batteries in, you know, to shoot and test their long suffering with all the noise that came from it. Now, I'm going to be honest with y'all. When I saw this toy at VBS, it made me wish that I could be a kid again and I could earn bucks to get it. Well, VBS ended, and to say it would have been a blast or it was a blast would be an understatement. After making sure that everything was good to go with the pastor, I left to go home, and right before I got in my car in the parking lot, I heard a voice yell my name, and I turned around to see Meredith running towards me, and she was carrying something. Now, she was carrying that Star Wars toy, and she had spent her own bucks so that I could have it. She had basically sacrificed, getting candy and toys for herself so that she could get this for me. Now, this absolutely made my day, and I made sure to tell her, like, Meredith, if you were one of my siblings, I would give you a huge hug right now. Of course, I just gave her a fist bump. Now, this is actually a toy here. See, it has Vader's personal starfighter, AT-AT, attack on the Death Star, Star Destroyer, and Imperial Shuttle. I think there's a mistake here. It says 4 plus. I think it should actually say 424 plus. But if all sinning comes from the glory of God, I guess I can let that slide. All right, if you could go ahead and turn to Isaiah 38. Isaiah 38. So in Isaiah 38, verse 1, it says, "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And as Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and the city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, and the Lord will do this thing that he hath spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees, which is gone down in the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backwards. So the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down. The writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick, and was recovered of his sickness, Now go ahead and turn to chapter 39, verse 1. It's not too far from where you are right now. It's just down the road. It says, at that time, Merodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah. For he had heard that he had been sick and was recovered. And Hezekiah was glad of them, and showed them the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment, and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house, nor in all his dominion, that Hezekiah showed them not. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, what said these men, and from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country unto me, even from Babylon. Then said he, what have they seen in thy house? And Hezekiah answered, all that is in my house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them. Then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come, that all that is in thine house, and that which thy fathers have laid up and stored unto this day, shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons, thou shalt issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Then said Hezekiah to Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord for which thou hast spoken. He said, moreover, for there shall be peace and truth in my days. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for giving all of us the means of transportation to be here today. I thank you for putting it on everyone's heart to come to your house and learn more about you and to hear your message. Lord, I'm just a man. There are so many men that could have been chosen for this position that are far more articulate and know their Bible way more than me. But Lord, I just pray that you would just use me as a vessel and speak through me, and I can at least, you know, encourage one believer in here. That would just make all of it worth it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm sure that most of y'all, all of y'all, have received many gifts in your life. But you have also received gifts from the Lord. You must not squander the Lord's gifts. You must not squander the Lord's gifts. Now, Hezekiah squandered his gifts. One of the first ways he did this was by abusing it. He abused it. We see this in the beginning of verse 1, chapter 39. It says, at that time, Merodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah. For he had heard that he had been sick and was recovered, and Hezekiah was glad of them and showed them the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment and all the house of his armor, and that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house, nor in all his dominion, that Hezekiah showed them not. So Hezekiah received this amazing gift of getting a 15-year extension of his life. Now, unfortunately, Hezekiah squandered this gift. After receiving gifts from them, Hezekiah allowed foreign entities to come into his house. Hezekiah let his guard down. Now, we must be careful, my friends, because even our enemies can offer us gifts. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Now, this means that when enemies come, they're not always going to come looking like the enemy. They will come looking like a friend. Now, Hezekiah let his enemies come into his house, a very personal part of his life. My question to you today is, what are you letting come into your house? Psalm 101, verses 2 to 3, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it for you. Says, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when thou come unto me, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. What are you watching on TV? What about your phone? Are you setting wicked things before your eyes? You can't hate the work of them that turn aside or sin and then stick it in front of your face and continue to watch it again and again and again. Why do we watch others sin and enjoy it? How many times are you going to watch them commit murder before you turn it off? How many times are you going to watch them commit adultery before you turn it off? How many times are you going to watch them commit fornication before you turn it off? How many times are you going to watch them get drunk before you turn it off? How many times are you going to watch them get high before you turn it off? How many times are you going to watch them behave like a glutton before you turn it off? How many times are you going to watch them gossip before you turn it off? How many times are you going to watch them lie, cheat, and steal before you turn it off? How many times are you going to watch them rape before you turn it off? How many times are you going to watch them beat each other to a bloody pulp before you turn it off? How many times are you going to listen to them cuss before you turn it off? How many times are you going to listen to them take your father's name in vain before you turn it off?
That's good.
I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Turn it off.
Amen.
Is everyone awake now?
Yes.
So Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now remember what the pastor said earlier about iniquity? It's basically a bold sin. It's when you know that it's a sin and you do it anyway. Now if your prayers are not being answered, that's probably why, my friend. Why don't you read the Bible instead? You know, it has all those entertaining sins in it too. Except now, you'll be learning about your Father, and it will change you for the better. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, this book doesn't just show you who your Father is. It shows you who you are, too. It's like a mirror.
That's good.
But every time you watch that filth on that screen, you're letting the enemy have a foothold in your life. You're bringing those enemies into your house, just like Hezekiah did. What kind of music do you listen to? Most of the music out there is trash. And I don't mean the genre of music. I'm talking about the content. And do you look at the lyrics of the songs that you listen to? You know, one way to find out if a song is sinful is to pull up the lyrics and just read it in a monotone voice. You know, we listen to things all the time. We have no idea what they're saying, but it's if we say to ourselves, oh, it sounds so good. I want to keep listening to this. But if you just listen to it in a monotone voice, it takes away from the power of that song. Brethren, I have a fault to confess. As I mentioned before, I didn't grow up in the church. Now, throughout elementary, middle, and high school, I listened to a lot of rock music. It was on every time we were in the car, and I loved it. I loved the drums, the guitar, vocals, and the overall beat. It seemed like a great kind of music to work out to, and it always pumped me up. But after I got saved, I began to notice all of the sin that came with it. I can't even tell you how many songs I listened to that were about murder, suicide, getting high, drunk, rebelling against authority, and even giving praise and mentioning the devil. It's because of this that I decided to quit listening to secular music altogether. I hate it. I hate listening to people who glorify sin. I'm not inviting that into my house anymore. Let's face it, rock and roll, that's an easy target. That's low-hanging fruit. They have horns on the heads of their album covers. They wear those demonic masks. They, you know, advertise pentagrams. And they say that they aren't satanic.
Right.
I mean, there's a saying. It says, if it looks like a duck, swims like a duck, quacks like a duck, then it's probably a duck.
Right.
But that's the devil when he isn't even trying to be an angel of light. He's just saying, this is who I am, and you need to accept me. Okay, so let's look at something that does come in the form of an angel of light. Let's look at country music. Well, wait a second, how can country music be bad? I mean, it's so relaxing. You hear it at Texas Roadhouse. They have those singers with the cute southern accent. You have these really attractive singers like Carrie Underwood and Miranda Lambert and Carrie Underwood. So we're going to look at a song today. It's by Luke Bryan. I'm not going to say what it is because I don't want you to look up this filth, but I'm not going to go through the whole song. I'm just going to read part of it. It says, country girl, shake it for me. Girl, shake it for me. Girl, shake it for me. Country girl, shake it for me. Girl, shake it for me. Girl, shake it for me. somebody's sweet little farmer's child. Now, he's basically telling this girl to act like a stripper. And then he's acknowledging that that's someone's daughter.
Yeah.
That's someone's little girl who's acting like that in front of everyone. Very now, fathers, do you want your little girls to act like this?
No.
Moms, do you want your sons to associate with girls that are acting like this?
No.
Good. Why do we listen to this? Now, this is the trash that I'm talking about, my friends. We're letting enemies into our house. We're abusing the gifts that God has given us. Now, music is a gift, and we need to use it to honor the Lord, not sin, and certainly not Satan. You know, at West Coast Baptist College, I had to memorize a lot of verses. And one of the ways that I was able to do this is I would say it again and again and again. And I could hear it. I would, you know, say it with my voice, of course. And sure enough, you know, I was able to retain it. I could say it back to someone without even looking at it. So when you are hearing those sinful words and the sinful music, you are committing those to your memory too.
Good.
You're strengthening that dendrite that's in your brain that's associated with that specific memory. Now, I don't listen to rock music anymore, as you know, but even now, like, I still, out of nowhere, maybe even at church, maybe even at school, that song, that wicked song comes into my head.
Yes,
and I just have to pray that it gets it out.
Amen.
And it's like it's my punishment for listening to it all those years. I'm basically reaping what I sowed. If you're listening to music like that, if it's polluted with sin, please don't listen to it anymore. I can't even tell you how frustrating it is to just be stuck with it. And I'm trying to learn these new godly songs that I didn't grow up with. And it's just, they aren't sticking because I haven't been listening to them as much. So, the other day, I cleaned out the baptistry. This involved sweeping, mopping, and just rinsing with water. It was an easy job. Now, would it make sense if after I did this job, I got a huge bucket of dirt and just dumped it all over the place? Does that make sense? That would be completely ridiculous. I just cleaned it. But after church, after we read our Bibles, after we pray, this is what we're doing when we listen to and watch this trash. You're covering yourself with that filth all over again just after God cleans you up. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, "Quench not the Spirit." In verse 22, it says, "Abstain from all appearance of evil." Verse 23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, when you sin, you quench the Spirit, which is one of the best gifts that God has given you. In doing this, you're squandering your gift, and you're not letting God sanctify you. We see the next mistake that Hezekiah made in verse 39, verse 8. "Then said Hezekiah to Isaiah, Good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. He said, Moreover, for there shall be peace and truth in my days." So he's told that his entire inheritance, everything that his fathers have left him, is going to be plundered. His sons are going to be taken as slaves to Babylon, and they're going to be turned into eunuchs, which basically means their privates are going to be cut off. And what is his response? "Good is the word of the Lord, for there shall be peace and truth in my days." He's basically saying, well, none of this is going to happen in my lifetime, so I don't have to worry about this. His second blunder is he wasn't preparing for the future. Gen X, millennials, Gen Z, God can use you for so many things. But there are many of us that need to take a humble pill. We don't know everything. There is always room for improvement. Do you seek counsel before making important decisions? Proverbs 11:14 says, "Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." How do you act when someone tells you that you're wrong? Proverbs 15:10 says, "Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die." What about a teachable spirit? Do you have that? First Peter 5:5 says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble." Now, it is important that we establish friendships and relationships with these older generations, because they won't always be around. Now, why are we learning from them? Why aren't we picking their brains on things? Why aren't we reminding them just how important they are to society? Sometimes I feel like my generation treats them like they aren't even people, and that's wrong. So there was a man that was great at establishing relationships. In the Depression days of 1931, this man stayed at the Dodge Hotel. At night, this man would take 4 showers. In the morning, he'd brush his teeth 5 times with 5-minute intervals in between. Now, there were 75 other congressional secretaries, and he wanted to meet as many of them as possible, as fast as possible. While FDR used his famous fireside chats, this man saw the value of personal relationships, otherwise known as retail politics, and it helped him become president. Now, this man was Lyndon Johnson. Lyndon Johnson, from the very beginning, kept his eyes on the future. Gen X, Millennials, and Gen Z, we need to do the same. While we are running for Congress, we are running towards Christ. And there is so much to learn from all these other generations. Boomers and the silent generation, you have so much knowledge and wisdom that has been accumulated by time and experience. I can't imagine how many treasures you have discovered in the Word of God and in your prayer life. But I have some questions for you. Who are you passing this wisdom down to? I'm not talking about your children or your grandchildren. I'm talking about the body of Christ. Who are you discipling? Matthew 28:19-20 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." That was Jesus himself talking, by the way. So there is no age limit for this command. It does not say to stop after we disciple or teach one person. This should be continuous. Now, many of you are retired, which means that you have more free time, but how are you using it? Are you using it for golf or watching game shows? Now, we need your guidance. There are many tribulations coming, and you may not be around for it, but we will. Please don't be like Hezekiah. Don't have the attitude of, "Well, I'm not going to be around for it. Why should I care?" Please do not check out of the game yet. Because we need you, and it's not over until you see Jesus. Now, believe it or not, there is something that Hezekiah did do right concerning his gift. He asked for it. Isaiah 38 Verse 2 says, "Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore." Now, there are many gifts that we are born with, and there are gifts that we must ask for from the Lord. Luke 11:9 says, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." My friend, it is so important that we pray to our Father. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says to pray without ceasing. Philippians 4:6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known, made known unto God." Now, there are gifts, as I mentioned before, that we're born with, such as our limbs, our health, and our life. But there are things that we must ask Jesus for, such as asking him to be our Savior. Now, this is the best decision that you could ever make, because we need Him.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, my friends, is we're all sinners. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have come short, and for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And there's a penalty for that. There's a punishment for it. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." So our punishment for that is the second death, which is hell. The rest of that verse says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." God gave us this gift by sacrificing His Son on the cross for you. Now, He isn't going to force this gift upon you, though. You need to be the person who asks for it. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you pray to Jesus right now, today, tomorrow, He will save you if you confess that you are a sinner and ask Him to come into your life. And He will give you this gift of eternal life. So we have established that in order to not squander our gifts, we must protect our house. We must not let enemies in. We must look toward the future. And we must pray to our Father. Lord, thank you so much.